During the 1930s and 1940s and part of the 1950s, the class aspect was the dominant one. And most of the struggle moved along class lines, along class organizations, and particularly particularly the unions and working class organizations that were related to the unions. In recent years, the other aspect has come to the fore, and it is proving to be a more dynamic one. And in the final analysis, it may be the one which, it probably will be the one which creates the greatest transformation in the thinking of the Negro people. And what happens now is that people tend to forget about the other side of it. Not merely tend to forget about it, but tend to deny that it has any importance whatever. That's because of things as they are now. But when the working class begins to move again, as a result of the conditions that are created by capitalism, the Negro movement will look at the class question in a different light. And then we will see a greater or more equal combination of these two aspects in the determination of the way that the movement develops further. Cruz's error, as was pointed out last week, is that not just that he sees that the class aspect has receded, that it's not as important. His error is to say, not only is it not the dominant one now, but he says that it never again will play any part. It never will have any effect on the outcome of the struggle. And what he's saying, therefore, is that there never really will be any important class struggles anymore. The only struggles that will take place of importance will be racial struggles. And of course, as Marxists, we know that that is wrong. We will work together with people who hold that view. We will work together with black radicals who say, the white workers, they're not ready now and they never will be. We'll work together with them because we are confident that they will learn, not from our telling them. We could tell them day and night and they're not going to be influenced until they begin to see some changes inside the working class. But they will learn as a result of what happens inside the working class. And of course, partly what happens inside the working class is going to depend on the independent development of the Negro struggle, which will have its impact on the class as a whole. All right, the second thing I want to mention concerns these categories: integration, separation, right of self-determination, and so on. I told you a conversation was overheard in the hall here, one comrade telling another, the SWP stands for integration. And the other comrade saying, no, I understood that the SWP stands for the right of self-determination. And they were arguing with each other. Well, the other night, Wednesday night, we tried to explain what this problem of integration means, how there's a difference of definition, how the term is used in different ways. So I'll try to repeat that now, perhaps a little more clearly than I did then. The SWP does not believe that the Negroes will get equality through integration in capitalist society. We reject that notion just as strongly as the most pure and simple nationalists, as anyone does. We don't believe that that's going to happen. It's going to take a socialist revolution to achieve integration. What people call integration is very often only desegregation. That is the removal of Jim Crow barriers. We are, of course, in favor of the removal of Jim Crow barriers, and that's why some comrades think that the formula we offer integration is adequate. But it's not adequate. Although we are in favor of the removal of these barriers, we know and we say that they are not going to be removed completely and are not going to be removed satisfactorily in this society. The question of the SWP is not in favor of separation, or the SWP is in favor of separation. Well, that also has to be explained and understood very carefully. We're in favor of separation in the sense, and this is the sense in which many people mean it, in the sense that we favor Negroes forming their own organizations under their own leadership, conducting their own struggle independently of what other groups do and separately from them if necessary. We're in favor of that kind of separation. Are we in favor of the separation of the Negro people into a separate nation? Yes and no. We're in favor of that if that is what the Negro people want. But we say that that hasn't been decided yet. The Negro people haven't yet decided that they want a separate nation. And until they decide it, we are not in favor of it. We say now that if they decide in favor of it, we will support it and we will help them to achieve it. We will support it under capitalism and we will try to help them achieve it under capitalism. And we will support it after socialism comes to power and help them to achieve it after socialism comes to power. On the right of self-determination, yes, we are for the right of self-determination. And that means that if the Negro people decide they want to achieve their equality through integration in American society, we are for that. But we say it can't be achieved under capitalist American society. And if they want to separate, we are for that, and we will fight for that. We are not advocating that the Negro people separate, because then that would be a denial of the right of self-determination. They have to determine first what they want to do. Then our obligation will be to support it in a revolutionary way. What are cruises, the last point I want to make before we start taking up the questions. What are Cruz's four main points against the SWP in reference to the Freedom Now Party? Well, he has four charges. They are as follows. One, that we, the SWP, don't believe in and don't want a truly independent black political party. Whatever we say, we don't really want it. Two, that we engage in maneuvers against the Freedom Now Party. Three, that we compete with the Freedom Now Party even before it's been nationally or established or in a stable basis almost anywhere by running a Negro candidate for president, that this constitutes competition with the FMP. And fourth, that we disrupt the Freedom Now Party's development. Those are the four main charges that I've been able to cull out of his article. Maybe others have been able to find more than that, but those are the basic four charges. Now, Wednesday night I went into some detail on the record about the SWP's well-known position in favor of the independence of the Negro movement in general, how that has been our policy now for 26 years, how we've never changed it at any time, how we were the first radical party to assert the need for the independence of the Negro movement and the correctness of it. So this well-known position of ours in favor of Negro independence, of course, applies with full force to black political action, too. For many years, we have endorsed and supported independent Negro candidates running against the Capitalist Party candidates. to support such candidates when instead of running individually, they band together in a party, to defend their right to do so in any way they choose, is only an extension of the position that we long have held. And it comes almost automatically for us. There was very little dispute over this at our convention last year, where we decided to endorse the formation of such a party before one even existed. Every politically informed person in the country knows this, that we're in favor of that. If you look at a magazine, a social democratic magazine called New Politics, the latest issue that's appeared, the spring issue, two writers in that, anti-Marxist social democrats by the name of Tom Kahn, K-A-H-N, and August Meyer, a professor, they write in that article and say that the All Negro Freedom Now Party idea, and this is a quotation, was originally projected by the predominantly white Trotskyites, and for some months received its chief organizational support from them. Now, this is not true. In our convention resolution last year, where we endorsed this idea, we very specifically noted, and I'm quoting now, that the idea of a Negro party, a civil rights party, or an equal rights party, had been raised in previous years by Adam Clayton Powell and by Liberator magazine, among others, and had been raised earlier than our convention in 1963 by Elijah Muhammad and William Worthy. So this New Politics statement that we originally projected it is obviously inaccurate. We would be glad to claim credit for conceiving the idea of an FMP, but it wouldn't be honest for us to do so. The only thing that we can claim credit for is that we publicly supported the idea of an independent black party before anyone took any organizational steps to create one. Now, however, if we did that, then why, even before the new party has been established nationally, would we rush in to compete with it, which is the charge that Cruz has? Cruz says that we are astute, the most astute of all the Marxists. But what is astute about encouraging the formation of another party if your very first response, even before it's been fully assembled, is to compete with it? The charge is ridiculous, logically, on the face of it. There isn't the faintest trace of competition with the FMP in DeBerry's presidential candidacy, except inside Cruz's head. When DeBerry was nominated by the FMP last winter, it was perfectly plain, by the SWP, it was perfectly plain that the FMP would not be able to run a presidential candidate this year. It had hardly been able to form small groups in a dozen cities. And we, out of our experience in knowing how much work is involved in organizing a presidential campaign, knew in advance that the FMP would not be able to run a presidential candidate this year. So that the idea that his candidacy was put forward in order to compete with the FMP has no basis whatever, either logically or factually. Moreover, every chance that he gets, everywhere that he goes, DeBerry expresses his complete support and the SWP's support for the effort to create a mass independent black party and calls on black militants to help create it. And of course, when he does this, he gets criticized by Cruz for doing so. So that he's placed in a position where if he wants to please Cruz, he has only two choices. One is to keep silent, never mention the FMP, or maybe to oppose it. Maybe that would satisfy approves, because when he speaks for it, that doesn't. And as you know, the FMP has won a statewide place on the ballot only in Michigan. And as soon as they had filed their petitions last spring, the Michigan SWP announced, "We are not campaigning against the Freedom Now Party, which in our view has valuable contributions to make to the electoral struggle for a world free of oppression and exploitation. We welcome its entry into the election campaign and hope it will get a fair hearing from whites as well as Negroes." And you know, most of you, that we are planning to support most of the candidates of the FMP in the coming election. So that there's no basis whatever for this charge. Now to the third one. DeBerry has already refuted the charge of maneuvering against the FMP. The claim by Cruz is that DeBerry linked himself with the Freedom Now Party without the party's permission to do so. This is one of his charges. And that rests in its entirety on the fact that DeBerry, when his candidacy was announced, said, without pretending to be a spokesman of the FMP, that he supported the building of an FMP. Cruz apparently has some kind of expectation that DeBerry has to get permission from the FMP before he can speak about it. And that, of course, is an unrealistic expectation. DeBerry is going to speak about the FMP, and he's going to speak about the Democrats, he's going to speak about the Republicans, whatever he thinks about them, without getting their permission. And that's all that this charge amounts to. The fourth and final charge of disruption is equally baseless. DeBerry and the SWP are said by Cruz to be disrupting the development of the FMP because when they discuss the FMP, quote, "they must attempt to project the idea of the Freedom Now Party in their own Marxian image with the old worn-out, discredited theme of Negro labor unity," end quote. Now, what this means is that when DeBerry and the SWP discuss the FMP, they do so as Marxists. But what's wrong with that? I don't know how else he expects them to discuss it, since they are Marxists. Does DeBerry discussing it as a Marxist prevent other people from discussing it from whatever angle they want, including Cruz discussing it from an anti-Marxist angle? Or how does it in any way interfere with the right of any FMP member to discuss the FMP in any way that he pleases? How is DeBerry's exercise of his right to express his opinion, whether the opinion is right or wrong, disruptive to the FMP's development? Now, the whole charge becomes more ridiculous when you observe that Cruz bases it exclusively on a phrase in a New York Times report which had DeBerry saying that he supports the FMP as a step toward independent political action by labor and Negroes. Twisting this a little bit, Cruz paints this as opposition to the FMP. He says, quote, "The Trotskyist theoreticians realize very well that a truly independent black political party, which functions irrespective of what white labor does and does not do, will further deepen the already serious crisis of Marxist creed in the West. It could show that Marxian ideas about capitalism in advanced countries are not to be taken seriously." Now, even if DeBerry made this statement the way the Times reported it, that is, he said, "I support the FMP's creation as a step to independent political action by labor and Negroes," rather than the other way around, that is, his saying, "a step to independent political action by Negroes and labor," Cruz knows very well what is meant, and that is that the Berry and the SWP believe that a mass black party will upset and then destroy the Democratic Labor Negro Coalition, and that this will give impetus to the formation of an independent labor party too. Now, what's so old, terrible, discredited, and worn out about such a prediction? Does Cruz think that the stimulation of an independent labor party by the growth of an FMP would be a bad thing? In that case, he ought to argue that. Or does he think that such a development is impossible? In that case, he ought to argue that. But he ought not to substitute for such arguments, which would be fruitful, his unfounded claim that we cannot be for a truly independent black party because it would deepen the crisis of Marxism. The only crisis it would deepen would be the crisis of capitalist politics, the crisis of the Democrats, the labor bureaucrats, the liberals, the Negro gradualists, which is precisely one of the reasons why we are so strongly for the FMP. Because the breakup of the two-party system and the radicalization of American politics in this way are high on the list of Marxian ideas about capitalism that Cruz says will be discredited by the creation of a truly independent black party. All right, Nero. I'll go on to pick up some of the questions that have been asked. And
perhaps get some answers from the audience and perhaps answer some myself. Here's a question I would like to have someone
from the audience
on the tape. What answer?